You might ask, what does the world's first African-American heavyweight boxing champion have to do with an exhibition of black and white photographs in Melbourne? Well, the exhibition includes work by Aboriginal male photographers, including Ricky Maynard, the late Michael Riley, and Mervyn Bishop, just to name a few. And it's had a previous life, this exhibition. It's been reversioned since I first saw it in Darwin around 2007. But there's more to this exhibition than a catchy title. It covers a lot of ground: male vanity and narcissism, the politics around the Northern Territory intervention, and the demonisation of Aboriginal men in the Australian media. I'm with the curator of Cold Eels and Distant Thoughts, John Mundine, and we were talking as the exhibition was being installed at the Monash Gallery of Art in Wheelers Hill in Melbourne's outer suburbs. John Mundine, Cold Eels and Distant Thoughts.
Yes.
The title.
It's a great quote from black American boxer Jack Johnson. People wouldn't remember, but he won his world heavyweight title out here in 1908. And he met my grandfather and some other Aboriginal people's, John Maynard's grandfather and Gary Foley's grandfather, when he was here. So he did know about Aboriginal people. And some reporter asked him, he had a white American woman as his wife, and he asked him what would white women see in black men, and he said, well, it's because they are with us because we eat cold eels and we think distant thoughts, which is the great joke of all time. And I can imagine him rolling on the ground with that as a reply. And most adults who come into the exhibition actually roll on the ground when they read that and realise what it says.
And what does this show then have to say about... tell us who the artists are in this exhibition, and the premise of the exhibition too is interesting.
Mm. Well, there are eight artists in it, in the artist photographers, Mervyn Bishop, Michael Aird, Adam Hill, Gary Lee, Ricky Maynard, Michael Riley, and Peter McKenzie, and Jason Wing.
And what do you think it has to say about... they're all Aboriginal male photographers.
Yes.
Why that decision? Curatorially, what's the premise?
It started with a group of... mid-career Aboriginal male photographers, and then we had this thing called the intervention came along and the demonisation of Aboriginal males, and so I gradually built it up into a bigger proposition about the demonisation of Aboriginal males and how there are many Aboriginal males who lead very active lives and raise families and hold jobs, etc., and have ideas, positive ideas about how Aboriginal life should be a participatory life within Aboriginal society and within Australian society. They're not all drunks. They're not all drunks, pedophiles, and violent people.
But this exhibition has had a few iterations, but we're out here at Monash in the outer suburbs of Melbourne. What's different about this show from the other shows, do you think?
It started with a smaller number of artists and that premise, and over the last 5 years odd, it's added two younger artists, who are Adam Hill and Jason Wing, who are younger contemporary artists, and they are not solely photographers. Most of the other people are just solely photographers. These are contemporary artists who use photography in their practice, and their take on things is a bit more direct. Adam Hill's work is to do from a previous show called Beauty, Vanity and Narcissism, and so he's produced this self-portrait with 22 images that you see here as a piece. And the work by Jason Wing, which is a response to the intervention, about the labelling or another generation of stereotyping Aboriginal males and Aboriginal people as being unintelligent, being drunks and disreputable people. We're trying to counter that. They blend in. The surprising thing is how all these people blend in, and each one has a particular take on the way they photograph people, how they print the work in the end, how you actually print it and realise it in the gallery, and the particular subject matter.
Because I think certainly with Adam's self-portrait also with Jason's, they are really confronting the issue of Aboriginal masculinity.
I think that they are talking about issues that people wouldn't have thought of previously. The idea that you could be an out there, positive, you know, sexy male person, and very blatantly saying, "Look, I'm not this thing. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a traditional-looking, if I use that term very selectively, a traditional-looking Aboriginal person. I live here in the southeast, where the majority of Aboriginal people live. I live in a city. I went to art school. I know these things, and I'm saying I'm out there. I'm an attractive, positive adult male." And that's the image they're presenting, in the sense, yeah.
I know that Michael Riley, one of the things he said when he was making images before he passed away was that he wanted to make Aboriginal people sexy. But my question is, I mean, 10, 15 years down the track, isn't it a shame we have to mount an exhibition that just basically puts that simple proposition?
I think it is a bit depressing to some extent. I wouldn't say depressing. It's irritating because we just think positively past that that attempt by society just to re-envelope us into these stereotypes. There are so many other people now we know. There's so many Aboriginal males in positive positions of not only sport but in the movies, in theatre, in all walks of life that you could think of. In fact, that people don't have to be in that cringe of anything. There are people in prison, there are people doing all these things, there are alcoholics, etc., but no more so than in the wider society. And I think people should realise that and be on the front foot and not accept that idea that you can be pigeonholed back into playing a particular stupid role.
Adam Hill.
Hello.
We're standing in front of your... I think it's a... Is it a self-portrait?
Definitely.
Yeah. What's it called?
It was part of a show that John curated prior, which was Beauty, Narcissism and the Aboriginal Male. Mm-hmm. And when he first invited me to be a part of that with Gary Lee and Christian Thompson, I asked him why, and he said, "Oh, come on, Adam. The first time I ever saw you at an exhibition opening in Leichhardt in Sydney, you were parading around like an El Caballo Blanco stallion. I couldn't tell if you were Italian or Aboriginal or whatever, you know." So I thought, okay, you've got a point.
What do these images then have to say? I mean, we can describe some of the images. You're with your friends, you're standing naked at the toilet, or in a doorway at least. There's a photograph of you on an escalator smoking a cigarette. There's an image of a lava lamp, but it's a Galliano bottle.
Yeah,
you know, just maybe describe these images for us.
Well, what I decided to do was to tell a staggered narrative, which is reflective of my exploits over the past 5 years, I guess. And so they're paired up, and each individual pair helps to tell a narrative. And so, as I just mentioned about that question, was I Italian or was I Koori? That's why I purposely composed these two here. It's a Galliano Sambuca bottle that's illuminated, and then there's a self-portrait standing in front of a mirror, naked. And so I wanted to have fun with that, with John's first observation. And then, you know, we've got a photograph over here taken at an exhibition in Paddington 2 years ago. And I'm with Bonnie Briggs here. And it's just like that, you know, bro and sis kind of beautiful movement in the shot there. But that's married up with a photograph to the left in the pair of one of those garden spiders that makes the cocoon leaf shelter. So it's about being cocooned and being and dealing with perhaps insecurities that might prevail in certain times of public exhibition.
Mm. Because you do expose yourself, you become... it's a vulnerable position that many artists place themselves in, particularly, I'd say, urban Aboriginal artists. They're in a position of great vulnerability when they explore their lives, their identity, in a kind of public way.
Definitely. Everything becomes laid on the table, so to speak, and many questions, particularly from our mob, you know, will come back, and so it's about dealing with that, you know. And then, you know, here's an image taken at... Pizza Ridge Festival last year, and it's a bit of a kind of, you know, it's myself with a couple of party queens there, girls, and then that's married with a shot taken at Centennial Park of one of those old school colonial cannons. So that actual little duo there is titled Loose Cannon. Up the top there we got the beautiful shot of myself with Maddie Shields, our premier pole dancing queen, so to speak. And then...
pole dancing exponent.
That's it. Exponent, that's the word. And then I've taken this shot of an industrial machine with the start, stop and reset button. And, you know, that's kind of about how certain individuals can push buttons and, you know, and kind of start you up.
Mm.
Then I thought it'd be fun to... Yeah, this is a shot, kind of a naked self-portrait entering the bathroom. And I just thought it would be hilarious to marry it with this gorgeous golf club here, which is a wooden driver. And so it's a kind of a pun on, you know, getting wood.
It's playful, this series of photographs are very playful.
Yeah, well, thanks. It's not only putting oneself in the picture. Some of the photographs were taken by friends of mine, and then others were self-portrait. But also, generally, there's a directorship about this series as well, which is part of having fun and a new approach to exhibiting oneself, in putting oneself in these little... quasi role play scenarios.
Was fun?
Yeah, lots of fun. It was a lot of fun because I didn't want to come in looking like a total wanker, you know, like when John invited me, and I knew that it was a fine line in doing so. So I had to make it poignant, and I had to tailor some imagery to his expectations. And I think it's one of those rare opportunities and rare moments where an artist just, like, nails it, I think, in terms of what the curator was looking for.
And a lot of the work, you mean, it was already assembled. You know, in the first iteration of this show, it was called Something Different. And your work, along with Jason's, has to kind of confront the other work in this show. Did you feel challenged at all by what's already on the wall, so to speak?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because if you look at these amazing portraits by Merv and Peter McKenzie and there's people inside, Blackfellas inside, there's uncles on, like, a beautiful series of uncles over there, and one always has to think about how you might behave before such a group of individuals, as opposed to being in having the freedom of expression in a gallery that's not going to be frequented by all of those people. So that was something that it didn't dissuade me, because this photographic series, it actually came from a tailored show prior involving Gary Lee and Christian Thompson. So, you know, that was already set to a theme. So I didn't think about that coming into this show. I'm just happy to be invited amongst photographic greats like Michael Riley and Merv Bishop, Peter McKenzie, and so forth.
Adam Hill, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Jason Wing. We're out here at Cold Eels and Distant Thoughts. You're just putting the exhibition together, which will open on the 14th. Tell us about this work. To me, it's almost a signature work now, this one. I've seen it on a few occasions, but it's become a signature.
Yeah, well, it's a really important work for me because it's one of the examples that art can influence social change. And for me, this is a perfect example. And the response that I've had from this work has proven that and still is today.
The images here humanise Aboriginal men, humanise Aboriginal masculinity, and I guess assert this idea that it is okay to be black and to be male. But tell us specifically about these images of yours.
Yeah, well, the humanising is a really important part to it because the laws and the bills, especially in regards to the intervention signs, I wanted the politicians who made these policies and enforced this regime to see how it makes humans feel. You know, it's not just a piece of paper. Like, this does affect people in a very emotional and personable way. So the artwork was first conceived to be hung in the New South Wales Parliament Prize. That was the only venue that it was ever supposed to be in because I wanted them to walk past these photographs every day and realise how they were impacting people. And I wanted them to see, like, use emotion to get to them and say, hey, look at how it's affecting people. And so that was really the only place it was supposed to exist. And to humanise the intervention, I think it's really important. To get people's attention is to tap into their emotion, to make people pay attention.
And, of course, the signs that you're referring to are the signs that have been erected in the prescribed communities, which talk about the banning of pornography and of alcohol on what was formerly Aboriginal-owned land, which the Commonwealth has prescribed and taken over. There's a little subheading there. It says, isn't a Commonwealth government project, or words to the effect of, this is a Commonwealth government project.
Yeah, it says this is an Australian government initiative, and it's got the logo, and it's taken directly from the intervention signs. And it just really struck me that they were admitting that this is our idea, and it's supported by the government, and it's branded on there, and yet no compensation, no reparations being made, and they're almost admitting, yeah, this is what we're doing, and it's not hiding the fact. And I just find it outrageous. So I've taken it directly from the signs and used it as the header. And basically the breastplate is a mini version. It's the same design, same layout. I've used the same fonts as the intervention signs. And it's like a kind of dog tag around your neck, which essentially, indirectly, that's what these signs are doing. They're labelling people. And, you know, Aboriginal people have to wear this label. And it doesn't matter if you're from the areas under the intervention laws, if you're Aboriginal. Even if you're not Aboriginal, I mean, this is a human rights issue. You can't treat people like this. And, yeah, it just needs to be exposed to the people making these policies.
Now, how do you think your work fits in with, the work in this exhibition? It has a presence, and, you know, your work is hung in a space with work by Peter McKenzie, by Mervyn Bishop. And I was just talking to Adam Hill here about how his work reflects on or is reflected by the work around it. How do you think your work sits in with all this other work?
Well, for one, it's a great honour to be surrounded by these artists who, again, have influenced some incredible social changes through their photographs. So, I mean, I guess I just represent another audience. You know, my work's a big paste-ups, which, you know, generally is reflected by my street art, attracts a younger audience, but essentially it's still a black and white photograph. It's just applied differently. It's a different scale. I mean, the scale of my photographs are 5 by 3 metres high, and I wanted the scale to reflect the impact of the intervention signs. So the scale is a really, really important aspect to it. And I've changed the tone of the photograph, so it's mostly grey. I consider myself not to be black or white. I'm more grey. And even in espionage terms, like the term going grey means to be invisible and blending in. So I always depict myself as grey because that's how I feel. And I think, you know, intervention, Aboriginal politics, you know, they're all pretty grey areas. And even our identity is very grey. So I've the stark contrast of black and white, I've muted that so it's just grey.
Because overwhelmingly this is a show where the photography is about subject. I mean, the subjects are other people, sometimes the artists themselves. These aren't, it's not landscape photography, it's photographs of subjects. And that also plays into, I think, this whole, the constant debates we have about our identity and about representation.
Yes, I think the idea of making everyone human is to make all these Aboriginal males seem like average, normal males who have a positive outlook on life and try to just do normal things and express normal expressions and try to make sense of the world that's this totally insane world, and certainly for a colonized population to try to make sense of what we can regrow. Someone said to me the other day that trauma can totally destroy a society, can totally destroy people, and people are totally smashed and disintegrated, and how can you ever reconstruct your society? And someone said, well, if you think of it in terms of botanical terms, when a plant is traumatized, like in pruning, it regrows, it comes back. And that's how we should think about how these people are coming back and regrowing, reconstructing their society.
The curator, writer, activist and sometime artist himself, John Mundine, and his exhibition Cold Eels and Distant Thoughts is on at the Monash Gallery of Art in Melbourne until the 3rd of June. We also heard from Jason Wing and Adam Hill.